Okay, so as you know, Buddha spent 19 vasa in Jetavana. Therefore, there are many things happen in Jetavana here, Savasti. And it's impossible for me to tell you all the story. So I will choose two incidents that happen here. One is good news, one is bad news. Because life cannot be good all the time. Life also cannot be bad all the time, right? It's a mixture of good and bad. So the good news is that Venerable Lahula, the son of Buddha, one day he followed Lord Buddha go out city for Pindapat, for Pindapata. So long there's nobody invite Buddha for meal, dana, Buddha will bring the monks to go out for Pindapata. So when Venerable Lahula follow after his father, so he looked at his father's, body so shining, so good looking. Then he might become very restless. Instead of concentrate on his meditation subject, his mind become very restless. Then he thought, what will be my prospect, my future, if my father did not become Buddha and become universal monarch? So he keep thinking, because he feel that his father is such a great man, and he, being his son, is also a great man. Then Buddha, of course, know what has happened in his mind. So Buddha turned back, say, Rahula, this body is made up by four elements. Water element, sorry. First one is earth element, water, fire element, and wind element. Whatever this four element is called material form. So whatever material form, whether it's past, future, whether our past, the form already past or present or coming in the future, or whether it's far, near, inferior form like animal form, superior like deva form, material form. Whether it's far, near, inferior, superior, all material forms should not be regarded as I, myself, or my atta. Okay, this is the acknowledgement given by the Buddha to Rahula. Why suddenly Buddha gives such admonishment to Rahula? What do you think? Why suddenly go Pindapat? Then Buddha give this talk to Rahula. They must have reason, right? Buddha cannot simply give talk without any reason.
Attached to
Yes,
right.
very good. Because at that time, Rahula is so attached to his own body. He attached to Buddha's body as brilliant, shining. And he, being a son of Buddha, his body is also very brilliant and shining. So he start to attach to the material form. Now, Buddha knew his thought, immediately said that whatever material form, whether it's in the past, present, future, inferior, superior, gross, subtle, far or near, is to be regarded as not myself, not my atta, neither I am. Then Rahula thought to himself, feel very shameful, Buddha knew my thought. So he said, having been admonished by the Buddha, who want to go Pindapat again? I don't want to eat already. I go back and meditate. So he left and go and meditate without go Pindapat. Then when he's meditate, establish mindfulness in front of him, then Venerable Sariputta saw him. And Venerable, because Rahula was ordained by Venerable Sariputta. Venerable Sariputta is his preceptor. So Venerable Sariputta taught him Anapanasati, mindfulness, breathing in and breathing out, but without giving details. So after that, Venerable Rahula went out, get up, then go and see Buddha and ask the Buddha how to practice this mindfulness of breathing. Okay. And Buddha did not teach directly mindfulness of breathing first. Buddha teach him four elements meditation. What are the four? Earth element, water element, fire element, wind element. Our body, whether yours or mine, composed of these four elements plus one we call space element. For example, your nostril, there's a space, right? It's called space element. Your ear hole, there's a space. It's called space element. So five elements. Then after that, not only that, Buddha teach him again, urge him to practice metta bhavana. He say, Buddha say, if you practice, you should cultivate love for all sentient beings, because by cultivating love for all sentient beings, you overcome your ill will. Then Buddha asked him to practice sympathetic joy. For Brahma Vihara, number one, loving kindness. Number two, sympathetic joy we call mudita. So if you practice mudita, you overcome jealousy. You rejoice in other people's good deeds. Then Buddha also asked him to practice karuna, compassion, in order to overcome the cruelty inside us. Sometimes, you know, there's a cruelty inside human being, want to torture other people, want to torture animals and so on, want to kill mosquito. When mosquito bite you, automatically beat them, although some people have practiced Dhamma for a long time. This is called cruelty towards the animals. Cruelty towards the insects. So Buddha said, practice karuna in order to overcome the cruelty inside our mind. Then later, Buddha also say that you also should practice upekkha, equanimity, to overcome what? To overcome resentment. Same like ill will. When somebody scolded you, abuse you, it become equanimous. You don't get very angry. Even though you don't send metta to them, because he abused me, he scolded me, I cannot have metta to them. But I can practice equanimity towards myself. Be equanimous. When people scolded you, bully you, if you cannot practice metta, make sure you have equanimous mind, not to get affected by what people abuse and scold scolding. So Buddha not only teach him to practice four elements meditation, also teach him to practice four Brahma Vihara, and again Buddha taught him to practice contemplation of impermanence, which is my specific teaching. Practice contemplation of impermanence to whatever phenomena that arise in your mind and body, in order to overcome notion of I am. Whatever you see, impermanent, vanishing, gone, finished, passing away, then there's no eternal self. So Buddha urged him to practice contemplation of impermanent in order to overcome concept or notion or idea of I am. So how many types of meditation Buddha asked him to practice already? Number one, four elements. This one type of meditation. Number two, anapanasati. Before that, before anapanasati. Okay, number one, four elements meditation. Number two, metta. Number three, sympathetic joy. Got mudita. Number four, karuna, compassion. Number fifth, equanimous. Number six, contemplation of impermanence. You see, one person need to practice so many methods of meditation, not only one method. We have so many deformments. One method doesn't work for us well. We have one basic, yes, basic one, but we also need to cultivate contemplation of impermanence. We also need to cultivate metta, karuna, equanimous. Even four elements. If you don't practice four elements meditation, how can you understand your own body? Right? The whole body, this body is made up by four elements. So if you don't practice four elements meditation, you never be able to understand your body. You think body is permanent. You think body is myself. You think body is solid like what your eye sees. Why your eye sees always cheat you? What the eye sees is only concept. It's not the ultimate realities. Okay? After that, Buddha asked him to practice again. Impurity, the loathsomeness of the body. Buddha asked him to practice the loathsomeness of the body. There is 32 parts of the body. Head, hair, body hair, nail, teeth, skin. Head, hair, body hair, nail, teeth, skin. All the organs, pus, urine, snot, sweat, blood, saliva, mucus, and the last one, urine. So why should one practice this loathsomeness of the body? In order to overcome attachment to one's own body. Because Rahula thinks his body is brilliant. Buddha's body is also brilliant. It is just an outlook. But if you look inside, this body also composed of 32 parts of 30 things. Head hair, body hair. Head hair, let's say, 1 month you don't wash your hair. Is it good smell or bad smell? Not say 1 month, 1 week also cannot, cannot stand already. The tea, you don't wash early in the morning or you don't wash for 2 days. You yourself also cannot stand. How can people stand your tea, right? So all this shows the body, in fact, is very repulsive. It's very smelling. It's very loathsome. It's that, therefore, we have to keep washing it. If it is pure by nature, clean by nature, we don't have to wash, we don't have to take shower, we don't have to brush teeth, we don't have to wash our hair. So what our eyes see is only conventional truth. It's not a reality. You got to use wisdom to see innerly, then you reach ultimate reality and you will not be cheated by the outlook of your body. Okay, so then the last one, Buddha taught him to practice Anapanasati. So Rahula practiced 7 or 8 type of meditation. For this reason, when I teach meditation, I never teach one. I also teach many types of meditation. But you should stick to one basic one, but other time. Let's say when you get very angry, then you want to practice Anapanasati. It doesn't work, right? When you have so attached to your own body and you practice Anapanasati, it doesn't work. You've got to overcome the arising defilement first. Overcome it first. Only then your mind becomes subtle, become quiet, become concentrated. Then you go back to your basic. So for this reason, no, it is very useful and beneficial to practice different types of meditation, but stick to one basic. If your basic is Anapanasati, then stick to Anapanasati when nothing happens. When something happens, use what you have learned and to overcome that arising defilement first. Because that defilement already hinder your progress. You've got to get rid of it first. This is called mindfulness, this is called effort. Abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. We have learned this 4 types of effort, right? What's the first one? Prevent unwholesome thought from arising. Now, unfortunately, that unwholesome thought thought has arisen, then we arouse effort to get rid of it. But to arouse that effort, if you don't have skillful mean, I want to get it, but you do not know how to do. Still, you cannot get rid of it, right? Therefore, you have to learn different type of meditation. Huh? Okay. So finally, Rahula become Arahant. Okay, this is the good news. Now come, let us go to the bad news. So when Buddha stayed in Savatthi, because he get a lot of support, offerings, so his name, reputation spread very big and wide. And other sect become very jealous of him. Become very jealous of him, want to cause a bad name or bad reputation towards Buddha. So they make a scheme. One day, this other sectarian, they ask one of his female ascetic to go to Jetavana here, where we stay, where we sit now. Every night, go to Jetavana for continuously for 1 month and let everybody see you go to Jetavana at night. So this will cause suspicious of other people. Being a female, you go to Jetavana alone, what happened to you? What happened to you with the monk in the Jetavana? Right? So after 1 month, this sectarian, the combat person or this sectarian killed this lady called Sundara or Sundari or Sundara, killed her and bury her corpse in front of Jetavana. So nobody know. Then this sectarian reported to the Buddha, say that my disciple name Sundara lost already. Don't know where she went. So then the king tried to search everywhere, and this sectarian also pretend themselves, help to search and try to dig the soil in front of Jetavana and found Sundara's corpse or dead body. Then they carry the dead body, reported to king. We found this corpse or dead body of my student in front of Jetavana monastery. Then king say nothing, because need further investigation. King say nothing, but this sectarian, this sect, carry the Sundara's body, go around the city, and proclaim that Buddha and his Sangha had killed my disciple. They had killed my disciple. Maybe they have sexual misconduct with her, then kill her. So the news spread all over the Savatthi. So when the monk went out for Pindapat, they do not get the food. Instead, they get all the abuse, all the scolding, all the abuse, all the contempt from all the citizens from Savatthi. So they went back to Buddha, say, what should we do? We cannot get the food, and yet we get all the contempt, scolding, criticism, and so on. And as a monk, we not only practice meditation, we also need to practice a lot of patience, endurance, right? So Buddha said, never mind. These rumors only will last for 7 days. So please be patient for 7 days. So when you go out, when you hear all this criticism and abuse, you should sing. You should say something. You say that the liar, those who speak lies will go to hell. Those who commit evil things and say they do not, they did not, will go to hell. Just sing this song. So when the monks went out, when they get all this abuse condemned from the citizen of Savatthi, they say the liar go to hell. Those who have done bad thing and say they do not will go to hell. So when they sung in this way, then the citizens start to think, if the Buddha's disciple really did a bad thing, really have sexual misconduct with this Sundara, and had killed her, they will go to hell, right? It's not possible for the monk themselves to curse themselves go to hell, right? If they have done, then they curse themselves go to hell. No one will curse themselves go to hell. You curse other people, you won't curse yourself go to hell. So they start to think, not possible. If they really did that, they will not say like that. You see how, you know, how much wisdom Buddha have. He also don't keep quiet. Sometimes you need to defend yourself. No? You just keep quiet and people misthink of you even more. Thought you really did it, therefore you keep quiet. No, Buddha said you should tell like that. Then they will understand. So after 7 days, all the citizens of Savatthi start to realize this killing of Sundara is not done by the Sangha. And finally, the corpse of Sundara also was discovered. They find the evidence that this Sundara was killed by this sectarian, not by Sangha. Okay, so this is a very big issue happened in Savasti. So the question is, why Buddha and his Sangha get condemned or criticism or scolding or how do you call miss what?
Punish.
Verbal punishment, by the public. Why? Jealousy? Okay, she said jealousy. What is your answer? Jealousy is, of course, is one of the reason from other people. What else?
Greedy
of
power.
Greedy of the other sect. There's some more until you get the answer.
Take opportunity for the people to learn from this incident.
Okay. The answer is so easy. Why Buddha get all this condemned, unjustified criticism and so on? Why? Yes, because of his previous karma. So when you get all this misery on you, don't blame others. Don't blame others. So you see, therefore I want to know your answer. So you keep on seeing external. It's a fault of others because they are jealous of us, because what? We never think of because of our bad karma. It's like ripening of Buddha's karma because in his past life, he also condemned one of the Pachika Buddha. And because of that karma, now karma ripened. So when karma ripened, we got to bear with it for a certain period of time, right? Therefore, Buddha say, be patient, endure it for 7 days because the ripening of that karma lasts only for 7 days. So I would like to take this story to tell you whatever misery happened in you, don't blame others first. Try to reflect. Sabbe sata kamma saka. All beings have karma as their heritage. We all born by our own karma. So the moment you reflect, oh, this is the ripening of my bad karma, then no anger will arise in you. If you point a finger to others, then your anger will never come to subside. So it's better to reflect, oh, it's my bad karma, it's a ripening of my karma first. Only then, now then you reflect the Dhamma to make sure there's no anger, no resentment that arises in you. This is very important. Huh? I have one student, in Indonesia student. One day I went to Indonesia, then this monk, so this lay person came to me and told me one story. I said that when we as a Buddhist, when we meet, encounter suffering in life, we tend to go to monastery and talk to the monk. Tell our suffering, why like that, why I have to suffer so much, why all this suffering fall upon me. Then he said, if the monk tell the lay person, this is your bad karma, this is the ripening of bad karma, then the lay person said, the second day, we change to become Christian. Okay. So when he first told me that, I was very shocked. Very, very shocked. Because when something bad happened to me, I always think it's my bad karma. So it's true. It's true. So when monk telling the truth, why turn him to Christian? That is something I need to think of as a teacher, right? That it takes me a lot of time to think of why like that. That's why we always say truth is very hurting. Finally, I get the answer. Through my own investigation, as you know, I'm a person like to investigate cause and effect. I don't simply listen and stop there. No, it's not my character. Okay? So then I finally get the answer. It is because human nature. Human nature, they always think they are good. They are good person. They have done a lot of merit. They have do dana, like you all come pilgrimage, take sila, listen to talk. You know, I am a good person. How could it be that I have done so many bad things in the past? Right? It couldn't be. So if you say that it's my bad karma, I get very frustrated. I get very angry because of ego, because of ignorance, because they don't understand the nature of the mind, because they don't understand the nature of samsara, even bodhisattva, much greater than you, also perform bad deeds and go to hell. So why should you better than bodhisattva? Why is a human being better than the great man of bodhisattva? Right? Simply because we are very egoistic. We are very ignorant. We don't know mind is very quick. You know, one time I think of good thing, another time I think of bad thing. And when you think of bad thing, this unwholesome karma already. And sometimes we associate with the bad person, we become bad. Now I can be a good Buddhist. But in my past, I associate with bad person, then I criticize Buddhism, I criticize Buddha, I criticize Sangha, I condemn Sangha. This can be happen. As I say, Buddha in his past also criticized Pacheka Buddha. Therefore, in his lifetime, he was condemned for 7 days. So we should accept this fact that we are not perfect. We have done bad things in our past. We have done good and bad in our past. So sometimes bad thing happen, good thing happen in our life, bad thing also happen in our life. So when bad thing happen in our life, we should accept it with equanimous understanding. This is the ripening of certain unwholesome karma, and it will pass away as well. Sabbe sankhara anicca. Good karma also will pass away, bad karma also will pass away. Only then our mind can be equanimous. Otherwise, how to become equanimous? So next time, when you have any suffering, you go to monk. When the monk tell you, this is the bad karma of past, your past life, don't turn to Christian. Okay, no time for Christine.
Both of them do.
And after this episode, after this Indonesian disciple told me that, then I start to think, why, you know, why human beings behave like that? Or because of their ego, because of their not thoroughly understand the karma. And from that onward, when anyone come to me, tell me they are suffering, they are misfortune in life, they are, you know, cannot get what they want, I never say this is the karma of your past. I never say that. Although I understand exactly is their karma, but I know they cannot take it. So I become more and more skillful teacher. Through their feedback, I become more and more skillful. No, this should not be tell first. I console them first. I console them first. I tell them my greater suffering compared with you. I tell them my suffering first. I let them feel that, oh, I suffer a little bit only compared with you. Then gradually, I lead them to see the karma.
Yes, and in that case, when we come across any lay people like us, we shouldn't say, oh, that is
yes, that's why many
people,
yes, many of my,
yeah,
many disciples also tell me that when they tell people, I just have bad karma, I say, you shouldn't tell like that.
I won't say that, I won't tell them like that.
Yes.
You make them feel very bad.
So, you make them feel very bad. But if somebody tell you, you should not feel bad, okay? Now you understand the Dharma already, you should not feel bad. If you feel bad, then you don't understand the Dharma. You don't understand the karma.
In such a way, certain words that you may, you know.
Okay, anyway, when somebody have suffering, misfortune, come to you, you show your compassion first. Don't say karma first. Right? Because they need your compassion. They need your consolation. So you use your compassion metta to pacify them first, gradually lead them to the Four Noble Truths. That is the way. Okay? So I advise all of you, when somebody come to you and tell you their misfortune, don't say this is a bad karma. Okay? Please don't say. But if you came to somebody, your misfortune, if you tell somebody, and somebody say it's your bad karma, you should take it. Okay? Because you have better understanding than others.
Then we keep quiet.
Then you reflect.
Yeah.
Reflect. Then if it's my bad karma, next time I should not do it again. I should not do this type of karma again. That's called wise attention, a good reflection. Then you reflect cause and effect. This is cause and effect. And cause and effect, it won't last. Bad karma also impermanent. Result also impermanent. Like Buddha was condemned only for 6 days, 7 days. After 7 days, all changed already. So you need patience to face the ripening of our unwholesome karma. Okay? Patience and endurance. Patience, endurance, and understanding. And let this karma slowly fade. Bad result slowly fade away. Without giving rise to anger and resentment. Okay? This is my advice to you. Sadhu.